Good morning.
Thanks for sharing that, Alvin. Yes, we definitely, let's this morning in our Bible study press into the fullness of Christ. We have this list that we're going through, and today the subject that's on, I wouldn't have been my pick, but it was what was on, so I will go with it. It's on marriage in the home. So, yes, I just want to welcome everybody to join me and press into the fullness of Christ and see what we can learn from that. Maybe first, just a scripture. Why don't we read from Ephesians 5, starting in verse 22 and going through to chapter 6, verse 4. Do we have a mic that we could bring up? And maybe just start on the front, and each person read one verse, and read from Ephesians 5, 22 through chapter 6, verse 4.
Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body.
Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word.
That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself.
For no man ever hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church.
For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones.
For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh.
This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise.
That it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth.
And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Thank you. As I look through this topic and through this verse, chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "Awake, O sleep, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And I just have to say that as I was reading this and just understanding what God's will is for my life personally, I felt like awake, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine through you, shine on you. And I have felt that happening as I studied this. So I hope as we look into this, may each one of us be challenged to move on in the fullness of Christ. Why don't we just pause for a word of prayer? Yeah. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and Lord, we just pray that today, as we look at your Word. Would you impress something upon our hearts, on our minds today, Lord, that that would move us on to a closer relationship with you, Lord? Lord, a more complete rest, a more secure place in your love, Lord. Lord, I just pray for this to happen in our midst. Lord, also just give me understanding of your word as we look at this, and just pray, would you also just let individuals be inspired as we look at this morning, that they would be able to speak your word forth too. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, looking at the first verse in Ephesians 5:22 there. It's not something that I would apt teach on, but it's in the Bible, and I thought, you know, let's learn what's in there. And just speaking to the wives there about submission, I was just thinking, what does submission really mean? Could we, in your minds, when you see submit, what goes through your mind, or what is submission? Could we have a couple definitions for that? Another thing I was thinking, as we go through this, the reason we were given this word here, these chapters, is so that if we understand them and we apply them to our lives, that something beautiful can be coming out of it. And let's see that today as we go through it. Submission. Does anybody have a definition for that? Nobody. Can we have the mic up here? Mike.
Would it be to put yourself under someone's authority?
Yes, that would be, definitely would be putting oneself under somebody's authority. That would be submission. Any other thoughts or comments on submission? Alvin.
If you think about it in life, don't have to think about it in this context, but even in this context, you think about it, there's lots of places where there's authority in life. Could be work, could be, you name it, right? Mm-hmm. And I think of somebody taking their rightful place, finding the rightful place, taking it. Sometimes we find, or we think in our minds that, well, I could do that better than him, but my place is this. And if we take our place, do our part, we let the other work itself out, and probably works out quite well, actually, because what we do in our own little place actually helps the person who has to take the responsibility, let's say, above us.
So you're suggesting that sometimes doing what's right and taking your rightful place is actually better than your maybe gifted ability that you think can be done better than the other individual. I think that's very true, very true. Anybody else have any, Vibra?
I can't resist. It's not more or less an explanation, maybe as an example. My wife has been tremendously gifted with giving, helping, all her life. And when I was in the hospital for 5 days out, and then the neighbors wanted to help, and the children wanted to help, And she could hardly accept that. And then one of my girls said, "Mother, be a graceful receiver. It's your turn now." And that is submission in the sense, too. And I cherish this to this very day. Mm-hmm. There is virtue in submission, and the whole verses here are connected in man and wife.
So again, just simply taking the rightful place. I was thinking, you know, as we look at this subject, isn't it different how men and women are just like so different, just the way they respond to things? And it's interesting how it's written here, how he addresses each one, and really if they are followed, how we're both motivated to serve God by that. I was just thinking this morning, I'd like to see if I could have a raise of hand from the married men. If I'm just going to ask a question and see if you're blessed if this happens, or maybe never happened, but just think, reason with it. Okay, when we think of submission, it's not just, okay, this is what I said, do it, right? If something's asked, if you're at the workplace or whatever, home, like if you decide, like if you think this is a course of direction you want to go, and somebody would say, okay, yep, I'm going to do it just because you said, but there's no no passion, no respect, nothing. Okay, you say I do, game over. How many of us men would be inspired to go on with God in that environment? Would any of us be inspired, okay, God's blessing me, let's keep going? I don't think so, right? And I was, this as I looked at this, it stood out to me. Here he says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior." You know, if I think, if we put submission in, if we think of submission without seeing the Savior, like if, I don't like teaching women. I just say that, but you know, if women, if they would decide, okay, we're going to obey what he says, but they have no respect and they don't look up, you know, that looking up to a man is almost as important as the obedience, I think, to inspire us to move on in our faith. Maybe I'm the only one that feels that way, but that's to me, if I think this is what we should do, or this is how we should move forward in something, and if Elizabeth agrees with it and respects me, or even if she doesn't even see it, but that respect is very important to me to move on, because if she says, if she would say, okay, I'm gonna do it. And just have no respect, you know what, that's game over. And we can't, we just don't prosper like that. And I think when he's mentioning here, and himself is Savior, I think what he's bringing in, and if you go down to, it says, however, let each one of your love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she respect her husband. There he brings the word respect in. And I think those really tie together. So, I guess what I really would want to say in this is, ladies, if you want to bless your husband, submit where you can and respect. You know, submit to what his... Not just, okay, I'm going to do it, but communicate. Communication relationship is very, without that, it's game's over too. But you need to communicate. There needs to be a submission, but also that respect. That will bless your husband and will motivate him to grow deeper in Christ. Does anybody else have any thoughts on that yet? Alvin, we have the mic up here.
Amen to that. In honor to our wives, if you look at the scripture here, in my own human thinking, I would say, well, I'd put husbands love your wives first and then tell the wife to submit to her love. But, you know, women have a very powerful influence in a husband's life, so powerful, and they're so strong in this area that they actually have greater grace, I presume, because this is said first, to actually surrender to a man. That's an amazing thing. That's, I give honor to a woman like that. My wife, to do that is, and place herself under authority, that takes more strength than to just say, well, you do it this way and you have to follow, you have to do what I say. And, yeah, I appreciate what you're saying.
And just something else on submission, it says there submit to the husband. Wife is to submit to the husband as we do, as the church does to God. And how does it go in our Christian life if we do not submit to Christ? We're not very prosperous in our relationships, are we? That's just how it is. If we don't submit to Christ, our relationship with him does not prosper. And even how do we relate to God and some of the things we don't understand? You know, God has some things, some direction for our lives that we sometimes don't understand. And what God wants to do us, all of us to do to him in that situation is to obey him and trust him that he has a plan that maybe our mind at this time can't comprehend, but just to trust him in that. So that's what I want to just leave with on that for the wives. Now, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy, without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Could somebody give me a definition of love? When I mention love here, husbands are to love your wives. What comes to your mind as a definition for that? I actually thought it would be interesting to, should have done it for submission to maybe have a lady and a man give the definition and just see how different we think sometimes. Somebody want to volunteer for giving a definition of love? What is love? What is love?
I'm not sure if it's a good definition for the word love or anything, but I think it's if we seek the best for someone else. If we seek the best for someone else, that's how we express love, I think.
Very good. Thank you. Anybody else? Mike here.
It says love as Christ loved the church, and that goes beyond the human and the natural love that we have when someone loves us, but it's a choice that in the case of Christ and the church, Christ chose to love a group of people that had done nothing to earn it. And that's how far love goes.
Very good. I just, as I read through here, there was a picture that kind of came to my mind. I think it was a message that I heard years ago that kind of brought this out. And that is See, as Christ loved the church, how did Jesus come down? He came down and he gave his life so that he could present us as his body to the Father as, here's your church. And that thought just went through my mind a lot as I studied this. Each one of us that is married, we have a wife, and you know, how we relate to her, how we love her, is shaping her. I just thought I would like to leave the challenge with us. May we be challenged that we would take our wife and, you know, the influence we have with her, that we would be able to, you know, God has given us the opportunity of helping shape our wife, if we may say it that way, to present her to the Father. And how many of our actions sometimes destroy her or help her prosper in her relationship with God. And I was very challenged as I looked at that, as I thought of that. And I was thinking about loving our wives. I don't know if any of you men have ever been embarrassed by what your wife did or not. But let's say there would be somebody here like that. You know what? Jesus, he was not ashamed to call us his children. Think about that. And how messed up were we? What can we learn from the Father in that? Let's say our wife would just be really messed up. Would we not be ashamed to call, as the Father, we're not ashamed to call. He was not ashamed to call us his children. Ever heard this statement, the wife? That's what I'm referring to here. He's not ashamed of calling us his children. And so, and you know what, I think what I really want to do here is this morning is let's look at the scriptures and let's learn from them, because I don't think any of us is exempt from, we're just people, right? And God has given us some instruction here. Anybody else have any thoughts on that? And just thinking too about Christ's love for the church. How many of us have grown cold, have grown lukewarm, maybe have even wandered away from God? How did the Father love us then? Did he tell us, get your act together, then I will love you? Or did he love us and encouraged us to walk with him? And so that, where it says, love our wives as Christ loved the church, I think that would mean even if our wives would not be kind, if they would not be nice, if they would not be what we would think they should be, to not withhold our love from them, but to love them and trust God. Anybody else have any thoughts on Edward here?
Going back a little bit here to chapter 5, verse 22 yet. Where it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. I think it not only says that there be to submit, but they give a good example as unto the Lord. It's not saying that they're supposed to be submissive to the Lord as unto their husbands. So when you think of being submitting yourself to the Lord, we know how God is. We know that we can make an appeal. We can pray to God, and He considers. He hears. And that same way also that a husband is to love his wife. As said before, I don't see to submit, no questions asked, but rather as Christ is to the church, in the same way the husbands, that they, as Christ hears the cry or hears the prayers of the church, in the same way husbands should hear what their wives have to say.
Thank you. And I was just thinking, Edward, as you were sharing there, as we read these scriptures, how differently we interpret them based on how we see God. It's just life and death. And I remember a time in my life when I wouldn't have seen God as more than do this or. And if that's all we see Him as, we relate to Him like that, right? And that's beautiful. Thank you. Anybody else have? Maybe we'll go on to where it says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. You know, when we serve Christ, when we serve Jesus, walk with Him, we have had to close the option of serving another God or serving our own selves. And I think it's very important here in our marriage, in our homes, that we are a couple making decisions based on what God is speaking to us and not necessarily what the father or the mother-in-law or whatever those scenarios are, but that we have become one as far as we've left father, mother. And we're making choices based on our understanding of God. And we make choices, we arrive to conclusions based on how we see the Word of God and not necessarily for a marriage to prosper. And we have another power in the background as a factor that just doesn't work. And when he speaks here of leaving father and mother, I think that is a very important thing there of that each time there's a marriage that actually a new home is started. Anybody have any thoughts, any more thoughts or... Then if we go on here, it seems like he's just saying, just in case you missed it, he goes, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband, which to me is just a recap of what we have just looked at. So let's move over to Ephesians 6. says, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. That it may be well and go with, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. It's not many children here, but if just thinking about the home, if you want to be blessed, children, obey your parents, honor them. Then it moves on, says, fathers, do not provoke your little children to anger. And I'm just looking at that, what does provoke mean? Do we have somebody have a definition of what does provoke mean? Dwight.
One definition might be to not make them angry or to treat them well.
Mm-hmm. So he's saying here that we as fathers are capable of doing that to our children, right? And if we just, I think the thought he had here, we go to Hebrews 10:24, it says, it gives a little bit the same thought, but in a different way. It says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. I think he was speaking there of provoking one another to good works and love. So we as fathers have the ability to provoke our children, but he's saying, I think we should provoke them to good things, but he's saying, don't provoke them to anger. And I was just, I find it interesting that it doesn't say, he's specifically speaking to the fathers here. And look at our own lives. What are things in our lives that we see that provoke our children to anger or provoke them to move away from God? And or what are things that causes this to happen in families, in our homes? I'd just like to open that up and have a couple people just share different things, because I don't think we're... I think we're all face the same things. I think definitely I wrote a couple of things down for myself as I thought about this. How do I provoke my children maybe to anger? One would be selfishness. If we're just take care of ourselves, we don't. It's all about ourselves. Or a critical spirit, or disrespect for people. Those are things I have to work on my own life. And I just like to open it up and just hear from somebody things that they have found themselves after they've done it, maybe that they could see, you know what, this really didn't provoke the child to good works, but it provoked him rather to anger. Anybody have anything to share on that? And you know, we are all together in this, right? It's not somebody, I don't think any one of us fathers has it all together, and we've never done this to our children. I think... we have, and may we bless each other by by sharing a testimony of how we've come over, or just simply naming it for what it is. That's really what I would like to see happen, because, you know, if our children are provoked to anger and bitterness towards God, the end result's not going to be good. And Alvin mentioned this morning, the children's class downstairs is big. We have a lot of children in our midst. And for most of us, right now is a good time in our life that we still can change, right? And I, or even let our minds go, like just patterns that we sometimes get into, certain way of doing things that is inconsistent, and it won't come out well. Anybody have anything to share on that? Edward here is.
I guess when I think about provoking my children to wrath, I would need to confess that that's something I fall into from time to time. And I think in observing what it says here, in a way that I would do this, if one of the children are critical of one of their siblings and I would respond in the same way that he would respond to his siblings, I think that I provoke him to anger, and I see that as wrong, and I see what I should be doing is admonishing them in the admonition of our Lord, which would have a different effect.
Thank you. Another thing I think is very important is that a good way to provoke them to anger is to do something out of anger. And so the writer here is saying, don't provoke your children to wrath, to anger. It says, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. What does God's discipline look like to you? When you think of discipline, what do you think of? How does God discipline us? I just had to think back again, you know, how we see God. If we don't see God as he is, we won't be able to see anything beautiful in these scriptures. Discipline. Somebody have a definition for that?
One thing that discipline should not be is a reaction. If it's not well thought through, it can become a reaction.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So when we think of God disciplining, see, God would never... He'd be never buzzed into having a reaction, right? Because what would he react against people like, who are we, right? When he thinks of, when God disciplines us, he does something to us so that we might find life, so that we might, so we might find truth, correction, instruction. Could we have the mic up here, Mike good.
So if God disciplines us in love, and just like a father is to discipline his children in love, why is it that sometimes men get provoked at God's discipline? Is it a fault of God's discipline, or is it something to do with the men?
Did you have a thought on that? Yes. Definitely think so. Also thinking where it says, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. What does God's instructions look like to us? God has given us many instructions. What do they look like to us? Are they a list of do's and do nots? Ron here.
I haven't heard all the Bible study here so far, but to that point you were making, fathers provoke. To provoke somebody, you don't do it all immediately. You're just the. It's a con. Like, we all supposed to provoke each other to good works. It's an influence that we have that if, over a period of time, we will make our children angry. But it's not something that happens in one moment, like some other things might be. And the same is with nurture and admonition. It's another thing that you cannot do immediately in someone's life, but over a course of time, you will have the influence. So I would say that verse 4 is talking about influence more than anything. And we're, as fathers, we're admonished to influence our children to look at God correctly. Mm-hmm. And when men are angry at God, or if we think back to the years that we were angry at God, it's because we didn't understand who God was, and we didn't understand how he works. And we do a great favor for people to help them understand that. Understand the fear and of God and who he is.
So what you're really saying is it's a way of life, and we need to have our hearts right with God. That's really what it boils down to.
And our children may not appreciate that. If you go to the Old Testament, how many of the men that God really respected and loved had godly children? I don't know if there's any Old Testament patriarch other than Abraham and Isaac where the children actually followed their father in his life of godliness. But they had a humongous influence.
And that might be very well true. that we don't see that much, but that's still no excuse. Each person is responsible before God, no matter what my mom and dad did or did not do. We serve. We're ultimately responsible to God. I was just thinking too. Every culture, every society faces their own challenges, and I thought, our society, our culture, we're very fast-paced. We do everything. I think our family time is, our culture's not friendly to that, to just simply quality family time. And I was just going to open it up, anybody that would want to share. You know, I think back to my parents and I say they did a better job at discipline. You know, sometimes maybe it wasn't necessarily meaningful, but we had every morning, we were farmers, so we were able to eat breakfast together. Every morning my dad would have read scripture. And every evening we would have had a prayer before we go to bed. And I wish I would say that happens at our home, but the reality is it doesn't. And how do we, in 2013, give instruction and discipline to our children? How are you doing in that? And somebody would want to just, because our culture is not saying, okay, we're going to set a time aside here for you guys to be able to put that in that slot. That's not what our culture is doing. And so we have to step up and change our ways somehow. Maybe there's some that don't have to, but would anybody want to share their journey or something that's encouraged them on the way in that of just simply teaching? Setting aside this, what do you find that works to teach your family? And if you don't either have to share either, just let's think about it. Let's just ponder and say, how are we really doing in that? And what do we need to change maybe to have that accomplished? You know, we could have a Bible study here and understand that, understand everything, but we go away from here today and we don't apply anything to our lives. It's kind of pointless. So, may each one of us be challenged in our roles to find our place. Anybody else have Ibra here? Is
there's one scripture I was inwardly a little amazed it didn't come up. And that's a love chapter. And it so reflects what we all discussed. And there was many things that were very positive. I'd like to read the results of love. Here in my Bible it says charity, and I'll word it as love. For to me it seems to sink in deeper what it's... And I think that's what it means too, charity. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil,
rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. And I think that simply applies for a lifetime.
Amen. Thank you. Anybody else have any if not, I think we'll leave it at that. Let's just remember what we read this morning is this is God's will and this is his plan, so that we might, and if we all walk in it, we're going to encourage and we're going to bless each other and motivate each other, provoke each other on to a closer walk with Christ. So God bless you.